Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Writing Mama Show. This is your host, V.S. Grenier. Irene Rose is trying to join us. We're having some phone difficulties on that end, so hopefully she will make it in during the show. If not, well, we've missed her, but she always does such a great job when she's with us. Today is Monday, May 7th. It's 12 p.m. my time, which is Mountain. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific if you're tuning in from the different time zones. This is, of course, a special edition of the Writing Mama Show. Normally on Mondays I do the Stories for Children show. However, today we are going to be talking about Mother's Day, so it's the Writing Mama Show. It makes sense. Plus the books that we have are not just, they're not really for children or teens. They're more geared for the 18 and up reader, and they actually make really great gifts for Mother's Day. We actually have two authors with us. One is Johnny Tan from My Mama's Kitchen here on BTR's, here on Blog Talk Radio. He is a feature host, and he actually has a book called For My Mama's Kitchen. So we'll be talking about that, some of the special promotions he has going on. And then we also have Judy Snyder, who is one of the authors of I Love You, Be Careful. She co-authored it with her sister Joan Dicko, who was unable to make the show today. But we do wish Joan well. And Judy's book is actually a picture gift book that is for almost any special occasion you can think of. Just let those that you love know how much they mean to you and how special they are and that you love them and you want them to be careful. So welcome to the show, Johnny and Judy. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Virginia. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful, ladies. I'm very excited to join both of you on the air this afternoon.
It's great having you. I mean, you do your show, tomorrow, right, Johnny? Don't you usually have your shows on Tuesday?
Tomorrow morning at from 10 a.m. in the morning till 11 Central Time.
Yep, so you're like me. You live on Blog Talk Radio and on the Internet. And, of course, Judy, not that she's, you know, even though she doesn't do Blog Talk Radio all the time, she is a guest quite often on a lot of the different shows. She's been on Johnny's show. She's been on the Stories for Children show with myself. I think you've even been on, I know you've popped up on our What If Success show. You call
yes.
in quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
I love that
been,
show, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you've even been on Marcia's show, A Good Story is a Good Story. So you make
like
around.
I get around.
Well, she has a wonderful story to tell. I mean, it's
she
very
does.
Exciting. It's very simple, direct to the point. Hey, this is it. I love you.
Yeah. And Judy's very involved in her area in a lot of different organizations, too. So even though she's not online constantly, she is in person doing a lot of things and letting people know, you know, how important they are and making sure that she's, you know, giving that special, you know, compassion and interest into those around her. So, anyhow, well, let's have, if you don't mind, Johnny, we'll have ladies go first. We'll have Judy kind of talk
Certainly.
A little about her book and
yes.
and where people can find out more about her, a little bit about who you are. And then after that, we'll have you pop in, Johnny, and share a little bit about yourself
sure.
as well. So can you share who you are, Judy, with everybody? So
yeah, I'd like,
know who
Ashley,
you are?
I'd like to. Ashley, my sister and I, Joan, my sister lives in Michigan, I'm in Virginia, and we were on the phone one day, and her husband was leaving, and she goes, I love you, be careful. And that led to this amazing discussion, we're both parents, and she's a grandparent, discussion about how we love the people in our life, how it's very important to let the people in your life know you love them. And the book evolved. And we came up with different scenes and wanted to do full circle of life, Virginia and Johnny, about a family's life, from a small baby going to the hospital to have a small baby, to all the way to the end where that same couple is the same person is growing up with a baby in their arms. And very simple, just the I love you, be careful. And so we spent a lot of time back and forth on the phone, and we found a wonderful illustrator, Katie Driver, who I have to mention from Raleigh. And we came up with this book as almost a gift to ourselves as well as others about letting the people we know, we love them. And as they go out that door, and I think everybody does this, no matter what country or language, when a loved one goes out the door, I know I'll say to my kids, well, they're grown now, but sometimes I still say if they come home to visit, you know, I love you, be careful, let me know when you get home, give me a call, you know, text me. And or my husband leaves, and I always walk him to the door, and my sister does the same thing with her husband, and I always say, you know, I love you, be careful. So that's how it started, and the book is called I Love You, Be Careful. And that's how it started.
And then that, which is, it's a great book. I love the book. You did a World of Ink tour with us a year ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm working, I've had people email me, like, when are you going to get the rest of the authors? Because we have a new website, the World of Ink Network. And I will have all the past guests that we've had do tours with us. So you can go to theworldofinknetwork.com, and I will get Judy and Joan's link up hopefully by the end of this week, so you can click there and kind of learn more about them and their books too. But you're also an author of other books too, Judy. You have a couple of kids books, and then you've also done, I think, a compilation with some other authors as well.
Yes, I'm actually I've been writing since third grade. I mean, I laugh, but it was like the story of the green hand. You know, I've been writing and love writing since I was a little kid. And so I've been writing for years and years, and took the Children's Institute course when my kids were young and taking naps. I used to, write and take that course. And I came up with a lot of manuscripts, and then worked at a children's school in the library for 8 years, picking books and reading to them. It's one of my mm-hmm. jobs I've had in life. I'm a social worker by profession. I'm trained in social work. But the kids at school, one day, I read them the book, and they said, you really have to do something with it. And it really prompted me. You know, I was encouraging them to write books and make their dream come true. And so I wrote a book called Goldie's Baby Socks, and it's out in English and Spanish, but it's silly. I love heartwarming and silly books. And this one is about a family that adopts a cat and the really silly things that happen. It makes kids laugh. And so that was my first book. And then I got together with a group of women.
Well, and you need to let everybody know, too. It's a mama cat. It's also a mama cat. Not that I'm going to get the whole story.
Oh, absolutely.
See, so yeah. It's a great mama cat book. You know, Mother's Day, Goldie's Baby Socks. It's a great book to read with your kids for Mother's Day.
Thank you. See, you know, it really is. Again, there's a lot of things in my writing that really enhance my writing because I am a mom.
Yeah.
And you're right, actually, and I love cats, so it's, in fact, you know, I do. I love cats. You know, I'm one of these cat ladies.
And really, yeah, just really quick on that before I even talk about your other book, too, which is sure. another good one as well. But after you'd sent me the book and I wrote with my kids, we actually had a couple weeks prior, actually, a gold cat that looked very similar to the cat that's illustrated in your book. And so my kids actually named the cat Goldie, and we've For a year now, we've been feeding the stray cat that we call Goldie.
Oh, I never knew that story. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's so funny. That is a rewarding thing when you hear that people, like, use that name or laugh at the book or, you know.
Yeah,
one kid walked up to me
and
goes, I'm so glad you told me that. I did not know that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to send you an email telling you that. But, yes, now you know. Now I remember, and I'm telling you now. Okay, in your other book that you have.
Well, no, thank you. I also, you can tell I'm working at slowing down when I speak. That's the thing in my life. I get so excited about stuff, I have to work at slowing down a little bit. But the other book was with a group of women. I was in a writing group, and it's called The Sacred Purse. And they're all stories of women as mothers, women as artists, women going through trials and tribulation. And it's a really nice book, and a lot of women wrote stories for the book, and it's called The Sacred Purse. And there's a woman called Debbie Wacker who really is the editor and brought it together. But we met for about a couple years and came together with this book. And I'm very proud of that one. I'm proud of the ladies who did that book also.
Yeah, it's a very inspirational book. And another good one, too, if, you know, if you're looking for something that's a little bit more, you know, inspirational and really deep, heartfelt storylines, it's a great one for Mother's Day as well for people to check out.
Thank you. I'm really glad you did, because with Mother's Day coming up, I think one of the nice things about the show, too, and we'll hear with Johnny's book, is it really makes people think about mothers, being mothers, you know, mother people, mother pets, and words of wisdom that we hear from our mother. And so thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, it's hard. As authors, we always forget, you know, when holidays roll around, we just get so focused, like, oh, yeah, I'm sharing about my books. And it's like, but wait, it ties into this holiday, or, you know, it ties into this event. But, yes, all your books, and you're right. Being a mom does, which I know, which is why I started my blog, The Writing Mama, which is what this show is titled after. You know, it as a woman, anyways, it really does influence a lot of your writing when you have a family and kids, and, you know, or even, you know, women who don't have their own children, but, you know, have, you know, become like the kind of adopted mom to others as well. You know, it really does change your outlook in life when you see yourself as that nurturing mentor to others and stuff. So, and your books do reflect that, Judy. So I'm glad you're here and, you know, to share about them and the different messages and how special mothers are today, because this is what the show's all about, and which leads us right into Johnny, which, you know, his book, For My Mama's Kitchen, which is about 9 women that are all considered moms to you, Johnny. So, yes, tell us about that.
Well, I tell you what, it started out being selfish on my side, trying to write a cookbook to preserve all my mom's recipes, but that turned out to be the wrong track. And finally, after 7 years of wanting to get it off the ground, then 90-year-old Italian foster mom called me up in January of 2007 and said, well, Johnny, are you going to finish this cookbook before I die? That was enough of motivation for me to get going. And before you know it, in 9 months, I was able to put together a wonderful book titled From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. And the book is truly about the power of unconditional love, the love that I received from my 9 moms. I was adopted at birth in Malaysia by my Malaysian mom. When I came to the United States at 18 years old to go to college, in the course of living here, I ended up meeting 8 other wonderful women who basically brought me into their life, into their family, and became my teachers, my coaches, my mentors. In the course of living here, and in the course over the next several years, so to speak, my mom in Malaysia had the opportunity to meet these various wonderful women, and were very, very thankful that this woman in my life taking care of her baby. And so I put all of that in the book titled From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living, because the wonderful conversation, the connection that we have, all took place in the kitchen, because it is the only room in the house, so to speak, that truly generates that energy of love, the heart of every home. And so while we enjoy cooking, eating, and conversing, before you know it, we're able to build a wonderful connection. And we learn a lot about the practical living skills that from each other that we share. The book is about the power of relationships, the nature of love, and the meaning of life. I've been very thankful for that they have been in my life. And fortunately, when the book came out, it has the endorsement of the National Association of Mother Centers. And also recently, within the last couple of years, my book had won 5 different awards. And that kind of pushed me and propelled me to the next level of excellence. Now I live my life wanting to teach people how to use the power of unconditional love as potent leadership to leave a legacy of love for others.
That's great. And I love the message. I mean, the two books, of course, we're focusing the most on, of course, is I Love You, Be Careful, and From My Mom's Kitchen, because both of them, obviously, it's right there. You know, it is about the love that, you know, we show each other. And I think most of us learn that as a kid, even though we, you know, our dads are in our lives, you know, or I guess some people don't have their dads in lives. I mean, my parents were divorced. My dad wasn't in my life very much after I was 9. Not that he was around much anyways, because he flew, but being a pilot, he was gone so much. But I really think that mothers are really where we learn that love, that compassion, that nurturing, you know, really that to have, you know, empathy. I really feel it's through the mothers in our lives, the women in our lives that teach us that. And it's weird because I always tell people that in my house it's a role reversal. My husband's more of the compassionate, the nurturing one, and I tend to be more of the alpha, dominating, psycho, crazy parent. But normally, most of the time, it's usually through the women, and my husband will tell you that when the kids get hurt and they get scratched, they come usually running to me first, which I haven't figured out why yet. Because I'm usually like, shake it off. But usually my mom was. In my life, it was my mother. It was my mother's mother, you know, my dad's mom. That really were the women in my life, my aunt who I'm named after, that really showed me, you know, the compassion, the empathy, the nurturing, the love, you know, versus, you know, the male figures in my life. And so I love that, you know, your guys' books are on that, you know, show that, because I think sometimes, you know, as women, and speaking as a woman, and I'm definitely, like I said, more of the A-type personality when it comes to female, but most women aren't, and they always feel like that they give, and, you know, like, oh, you know, I just do all this stuff, and nobody ever seems appreciative, and I feel like I'm taking it, for, you know, for granted. And, you know, and here comes, you know, Mother's Day. This one time of the year where we can really show how important these women are in our lives. And I think sometimes we just get so busy, especially now with everything that goes on, that we don't really stop and do that. But both of you guys have great promotions going on that don't take much effort. I hate saying that, but, you know, in our busy lifestyle, we like quick, easy, fast, okay, got that done, it's out of my way, I can move to the next thing. But but it's still, they're great promotions that let these women know that you did at least take a couple of seconds to think about them and how important they are, because they really are. So with Judy, you have the book trailer for your book, I Love You, Be Careful, that is basically set up, because I know, because I worked with you on it. I'm a big one, and I don't know if you guys are, like when people's birthdays come around on social networks, I like to go to Facebook and really quickly grab, like, a happy birthday, you know, funny kind of video e-card kind of thing, and, like, send it to people. I don't know if you guys do that, but I do.
I do.
And I love it because the book show we worked on, that was, like, your big thing. You really wanted to set it up where people could actually send this as, like, a video e-card. So, Kind of talk about what you're hoping to do with the book trailer, because I love the fact that, you know, it has a lot of the message that's in your book, and it's something you can send to people, and they look at it, and they just feel all good inside, you know, like when you get the spam mail from Maxine as a woman and with all the funny jokes and stuff in it. This is another kind of fun thing you can do for Mother's Day.
Well, actually, and I have to give credit to Virginia, because I'd like to say that I created this. Joan and I created the book, but Virginia created the trailer on YouTube. And it's not it's a perfect length. It's about 3 minutes, and the nice thing is it goes through the book, but it makes you feel so good. She put lots of hearts on it, and it's music, and it shows a lot of the book. And I know it's our trailer, and she made it, but I listened to it a number of times because it just makes me feel so good to hear it. And so what I've been doing is I've been using it as an e-card, and I've been sending the link to friends and saying, you know, I love you, be careful, and then they click onto it, and they get this beautiful card that basically says, I love you, be careful, to them. And it's really sending a card. And we're doing a promotion now, and just to see, can we get 100 hits, 1,000 hits. And I know that sounds funny, but it's like, go, go, go. You know, it's like, so I've been saying to friends, okay, send it to one of your friends, and if they send it to one of their friends, and what if we got it around the world, and, you know, that's where the kind of cheerleading part for this. But, Virginia, you really did. I have to give you credit. You did a wonderful job on it.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
You know, I mean, I'm so pleased with it. So that's what's going on with that.
Yeah, and you can go to YouTube, and if you type in all one word, stories for children, it will take you to the Stories for Children YouTube site, or you can just type in I Love You, Be Careful, and you can find the trailer. And you can also go actually to the worldofinknetwork.com, and it's our featured book trailer on the front main page. And you can, of course, click on to view it from YouTube and, you know, from there email it out to people. But like Judy said, it's a great, you know, video-type e-card that you can send out to those special women. Doesn't cost anything just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, Mother's Day is coming up. And we would really love to see 1,000 hits by Mother's Day. I mean, how great is that to let 1,000 women know how important they are? And more would be even better. But that's the minimum number we're trying to at least hit,
yes.
is 1,000. So, and then, Johnny, you also have a special going on with From My Mama's Kitchen as well.
Yes, I have. What happened is that I started about a week ago, maybe now it's about a week and a half, I started promoting my book on Kindle, e-book, and I offered a 5-day free download for my e-book Kindle edition. And during that time, during the 5 days, I was astonished at the total number of downloads that people were doing. I had a total of like over 28,000 downloads on my book.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was very exciting. I'm so glad that people wanted to read the book. And that kind of put me at the number one spot in self-help, in spiritual as well as self-help in motivation. And when the book started selling at $2.99, and this started last week on last Tuesday, and currently it's sitting at one time it was sitting at number 10 in the self-help spiritual and self, and I think number 50 or so in self-help motivation. And so I've been very, very excited the amount of support that I have from people. And that transpired to the to my hardcover, because my hardcover is designed as a keepsake. It has a section in there where you can dedicate the book to your loved ones. And then, of course, it has blank pages that you can write your own recipes for living. This is about living recipes for living life, basically, timeless recipes. And that, because of the success of the e-book, My hardcover book at one time was placed was ranked at number 35 in parenting and family relationships under parents and adult child. So I was very, very excited about that. And so I hope to continue to have people to continue to buy my Kindle book. It's only for $2.99. It's a special Kindle sale. It's actually the normal price for the Kindle From My Mama's Kitchen Kindle edition is $3.99. But even Amazon decided to do a special Mother's Day sale at $2.99. So
wow.
I'm really excited about that. So I'm hoping that people will continue to visit Kindle and download the book.
Sorry, I'm like typing in the. I'm multitasking. I thought Irene here. I'm like multitasking. I'm like posting the links in our chat room.
Can I throw in something about Johnny's book?
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
I have it dog-eared in front of me,
mm-hmm.
Because I love the book so much. I have to tell you, and I keep it by my computer. And if I have a certain day, it's very nice. There's all these little messages it gives you that you can just open it up. And so it's been, ever since I got it, and it's been a while, it's almost worn out because I pick it up and I read it and I read little samplings of it. So it's a great book, Johnny.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Again, it's one of those things that I enjoy writing the book, and one of the greatest reward I have is actually having someone like you who kept the book over and over again and going back to the specific pages to get the various recipes for living. And then the other reward that I got was when I did the book signings at various Barnes & Nobles about a year and a half, a couple of years ago, is that when men coming up to me and saying, you know, I really appreciate you writing this book because I, too, have gone through what you went through in terms of having some wonderful women in my life that has made a positive difference in my life. These are mothers that I have. Some of them came up to me and said, well, I have 3, 4, and that is the most rewarding experience that I have in writing this book.
I'm curious, and you guys can just jump in here whenever you want. When you sit down and you guys wrote your books, did you really expect the responses that you've gotten from the people's lives you've touched with it's such a simple message, and it's so funny because you think, oh, it's so simple, and you think people would just, you know, like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. But, you know, I mean, I think sometimes the simple messages really hit home more than someone who's really trying to beat a more in-depth message into your brain. So did you guys really expect to see the response you have with your books and just the way it's really kind of touched and changed people's lives and I'm just kind of curious.
Okay. Judy, you want to go ahead first?
Yeah, Ashley, no. When we sat down to write it, it really was a gift that I could write this book with my sister.
Yeah.
And it was really more, oh, we're going to write a book together, and isn't that nice? And, you know, I really love my sister, and I have another sister who I love also. And it was just a nice thing to do. And I never expected the response that people are saying, but I say this all the time. I say I love you, be careful. So it's been a wonderful, and then, you know, having Katie in there too in the mix and her really nice mm-hmm. pictures. But no, I can honestly say I don't know about Joan. I wish she could let me know that. But I think she probably would say she was surprised too.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. For me, it was the unintended consequence, like I mentioned just now about the guys coming up to me. I knew when I wrote the book, women would enjoy it because having a guy championing about unconditional love. That was the number one thing that, you know, that people would say, well, it's naturally women will like your book. And then when having men coming up to me and saying, you know, I'm very, very thankful that you wrote this because these are the women that played a very important role in my life, and that was a big thing for me. And then in 2010, what has helped me tremendously also, Warren Buffett was interviewed in an exclusive interview by the Huffington Post and Yahoo News in July of 2010. He was asked at one of the big financial meetings that he had, he was asked what was the most important lesson in life he has learned. And one would think, you know, he'll be coming out with some business formulas and so forth and all that. But to everyone's surprise, he said that the most important lesson in life he's learned is the power of unconditional love his father taught him. And then, of course, he went on to describe what it was and so forth. And so what happens now, even Warren Buffett, when you look back after he had said that, now you realize that he's lived his life from that perspective. And that's amazing because now with him saying that, it brought the power of unconditional love to the main street, into Wall Street, into the corporate world, and that was the unintended consequences because now it gave me the opportunity to speak about this openly
mm-hmm.
to the business world and say, you know, look, are you talking about, you know, we talk about family, we talk about corporate family. Are you addressing this in terms of the spirit of the law or the letter of the law? When you say something like that, are you truly meaning the legacy of love? And I look at my life, I've been in the corporate world, I've owned my own business, and I've always lived like how Warren Buffett has lived because I look at people differently. I come on from the loving side of people, making sure that, you know, we're addressing the people first, the needs of that first. And these are the things that I've learned from my various moms.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you so much on that, Johnny, and what you said too, Joan, about how, sorry, my sister Joan, being Judy, about how, confusing you, not your sister, about, you know, how we always tell, you know, our loved ones how much we love them, and I love what you brought about corporate America, because it really just kind of, you know, I was thinking about this when I was, you know, kind of getting everything together for today's show. I feel sometimes that the role of motherhood is being downplayed in society in many ways, and I'm sure I'm going to get email later telling me how awful I am saying this, but and I can say this because I started my career in marketing and in the fashion world when I was 17, you know, working in retail stores. You know, I went to college to be a merchandise marketer. I majored in marketing for business, you know, an international business and entrepreneurship. And as I got working in the corporate world, I remember my mom, because I'm her only kid, turning to me, and she's just like, you know, you're working really hard, you're going to school full time, you know, I was going to college full time, I was working full time, you know, and she's like, you're barely squeezing in time to, like, go out and socially hang out with your friends. She's like, how are you going to meet anybody? And I looked at her, I said, oh, I don't plan on getting married until I'm 25, I don't plan on having kids until I'm almost 30, if I even have them. I'll probably only have one because I want to be CEO of a company. And that's how my brain was, because in my mind it was like, I am this, you know, I am a woman, hear me roar, you know, and not that I'm a huge women's lib person, because I'm not, but not that I'm not for women's rights, but, you know, I'm not a fanatic. And, you know, I was just, you know, very much that corporate-minded female. And in a couple of companies I worked at, you know, it was especially when I worked at, and I won't say the company, but for a lingerie company, you know, it was mostly women on the buying floor, and, you know, I worked really closely with our merch marketing manager, And, you know, all of them were, like, older women. They only had one kid or never had kids, never had been married. You know, they were married to their job. And I was like, oh, yes, this is exactly how I want to be. And I thought that. Then I got to another company. And I'll actually say this company's name because it really changed my outlook. But I got to Brighton Collectibles, which is owned by Jerry Cole. And he also owns Legion Leather, and I'm sure some people have seen some of their shops. Now, some of their shops are owned by franchisees, and some of them are actually owned by Jerry Cole and the main company, Brighton Collectibles. And I worked there, and I really learned for the first time having a boss who did exactly what you're saying, Johnny, that treated his entire staff as if they were an extension to his immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
We literally had a chef who came in at lunch and cooked cooked lunch for us, and we all sat at this huge table instead of having it was a conference room with a huge conference room table, but it was where we sat and had lunch every day, and I would say about 75 to 80% of the time Jerry came and had lunch with us, and we'd sit and of course we talked business, but we also talked just about things that were going on, not into too much into our personal lives, but a little bit into our lives, and. It made a huge difference, and I realized, oh my gosh, you can have, a family type environment in your job, and be, very motivated and very goal oriented as well, without the competition and Shark Tank that a lot of companies think you have, and it made me, that was around the time I actually met my husband, and that's when I really put on the brakes and went, you know what, maybe I should be, focusing more on family and kids. And it really, he did.
Yeah.
He had kids and a wife, and I realized you can have both and incorporate both, and there, you could really balance it. And so, I'm just kind of wondering what you guys both think. Do you think that, with women trying to, after women have broken through the glass ceiling, and, I'm going to, I can be CEOs of companies too, and I can own a Fortune 500, do you think to some degree that we've kind of downplayed the importance of a mom? And I'm not saying that everyone has to be a stay-at-home mom. I mean, now I'm a stay-at-home mom, and trust me, it was hard the first 2 years because I also used to go, 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 and all of a sudden I was like home going, oh, my gosh, which is how I got into what I do now. but I feel like a lot of these girls, and I look at my two daughters, I'm just thinking, what example am I going to give them? I don't want them to not think that it's important to be a mom. And I think sometimes in society we've kind of downplayed how important that is. I don't know, am I wrong in that? I mean, what's your other thought?
I think it for myself is very interesting because I was got my master's in social work and did all various sorts of social work through all my life and took time off when my second child was born and then went back part time and I'm glad I have I'm glad I had that career. I'm glad I went on to work in a children's library for 8 years, kind of jump careers. But I have to tell you, and quite honestly, the most important career of my life, and this is just for me, is that I've been a mom. I really love being a mother. I love being a mother to our two sons, who are in their 20s, and kind of being that surrogate mother, Johnny, to some of their friends. I mean, I still want to hear how their friends are doing, what's going on. They come over for food. So I don't know if we're downplaying. I think if you work 48 hours in a 24-hour day, I think that some women can burn themselves out. That's the only thing I worry, one, are they getting enough time with the kids, but are they also just spreading themselves too thin where they're going to get sick or, where it's affecting them. More power to them to be a CEO, but do they get their time with the family? Are they getting enough time so that they're not worn out?
Yeah.
So that's just my thoughts, So that's just my personal thoughts.
Well, one of the things, too, ladies, is that the role of mother have changed tremendously over the generations. I think as a whole, it's this is the irony of it. Excuse me. To some people, they may not agree with this analysis, but in all actuality, working moms are actually, it's much easier to be a working mother now than it was before, number one.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is for that is because of the upsurge in technology in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to work at home and not necessarily at work. The working environment has changed also because of the downsizing and so forth. The corporations are looking ways to cut down on costs. And having actually people working at home is a whole lot cheaper than working in a brick-and-mortar building. And that's the other thing. And then finally, what's interesting now is that the changing of the guard, that's what I call it, because the new generation, the generations of Microsoft, the generations of Apple computers, these are the creative generations. They realize the value of each individual that brings to the table, whether you're a man or woman. So now what they do is that they create an ideal working environment. That's why Google is very successful. That's why Facebook, that's why all these technology companies are very successful in the United States, because they have created a culture to whereby when you go to work, you are actually, it's an extension of your home, where they have everything in-house from babysitting, childcare to health and fitness and those kind of things. And so these are the things that corporate America is slowly but surely moving in that direction. And from that standpoint of view, the United States is so far much more ahead than anyone else in the world as far as that goes. And that, to me, is the number one factor, I think, that will help in terms of moving our country forward, because now we have a different sense of appreciation for mothers, whether they're working mothers or they're working or they're just staying at home, because there's value now added to being a mother.
Yeah, also, I
agree.
Can we throw in the guys here in the sense that I think nowadays, and I know my husband's a real warm, nurturing father. I mean, he's a terrific father. But and I think nowadays, if let's say a person did have a job that they are the ones that wanted to stay at the job, and they do have a husband who chooses to be the stay at home, or you know what I mean, most of the time, I think that's wonderful. Actually, I think that's a great trade-off because, again, who's to say that the woman has to be home or watching the kids? I mean, I think there's many, many, many wonderful, warm, nurturing men, many, you know, a lot, and who could benefit and who would love being the one who, quote, has the caretaker at home part of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it really matters who. I mean, as long as, you know, again, as long as either of them don't wear themselves out too much, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes sense because that was like our big thing when my husband and I got married, because I already had my son from a previous, and his big thing was because he knew that I was in my career and I was halfway up my corporate ladder of where I wanted to be, and when we got married, his big thing was because I asked myself, well, are you going to want more children, and he's like, well, it'd be nice. He's like, but I think right now we need to focus on Dominic and just kind of decide on, what we're doing. He's like, I know you're, halfway up your ladder of where you want to be in the corporate world. And he's like, and, we're just getting married. So let's just kind of focus on us and our son and, your career. And because he was pretty much not at the peak of his career, but, he was where he was going to be for a while anyway. So he knew the focus was going to be on mostly over on me. And gosh, a year and a half later, of course, I'm pregnant with number two, and we looked at each other, and we lived at this time, we lived in the L.A. area, and anybody who knows what L.A. is like, it's dual-income family if you want to, have a decent home, live in a decent neighborhood. There's no way around that unless, one of you is, making over $200,000 a year, and so the other one can stay home. So we looked at each other and was like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Because now we're going to have two. And it was the whole, do we want another kid being raised, in private school and with, a nanny or in daycare? Was really the question. It was because with my son, when I left his dad, my mom, because my stepdad being a dentist, she ended up quitting her job and actually became my son's nanny. So he had grandma as his nanny. Well, it was going to be very dynamically different with number two. And that was, the thing. It was my mom's not here to do this time around. And it was holy cow, what do we do? And so it goes right back to what you were saying, who takes the decision to quit jobs? And that's what we ended up actually in Southern Utah was I could walk away from my career, which as hard as that was, trust me, it was hard. But I wanted to be a mom more and be there for my kids more than my career. And that's really what it came down to. And so we moved here because it allowed my husband to keep advancing in what he does. and so he could support us, and I could stay home, and of course end up getting to writing, because heaven forbid I not do something. But I love it because it goes right back to what Johnny was saying. I can, you know, I can work 3 to 4 hours, you know, when the kids are all in school. I mean, even with my little one, you know, like right now she's down for her nap, so I work when she naps. So that gives me, you know, 3 to 4 hours of work time when she's down, and then I work again after dinner when all the kids are doing homework and getting ready for bed. I can go and finish, you know, my 8-hour day in my, you know, over in my office, because they're winding down for the night, and I can work, you know, I'm usually up to about 1 o'clock in the morning because I'm just a night owl, you know, finishing off my day and getting everything done. And it's, and I love it because if technology wasn't where it is, there's no way I'd be able to balance my life, you know, my career life with my be-at-home mom life.
Right.
And my kids
right.
hardly feel it. And there's times, you know, which I'm sure, you know, you guys, you know, obviously being writers, you have to go and travel and go to conferences or book signings or book fairs or, you know, speaking engagements, whatever you have going on. And I'm so fortunate that my husband's in a position with his job that when that happens, he can, you know, do exactly that, switch gears and say, you know, I'm working from home today so I can take care of the kids while, you know, Virginia's off doing her thing. And
mm-hmm.
so our kids really feel that bump. And so I love that it's that way, because when I was growing up, it's very much like you were saying, Johnny, you know, it was different. For my mom was a single mom raising me and worked full time. She worked in the banking industry, still does. And, yeah, they had a cow if I just called to let her know I was home safe because I was a latchkey kid. I mean, heaven forbid she'd have kids who call and let them know they're home. It was awful. And so it's like I really think about that when I look at my 2 girls going, I want them to feel like they can do anything they want in life, you know, but, you know, I don't want them to feel like they have to pick one or the other. And I love the fact that society is changing that viewpoint, because it did feel like when I was growing up anyways, in many ways, that it was like you either were a working woman or you were a mom, and you couldn't have both. You had to pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
true.
I love
now, you can't have both, yeah.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, and you know, as authors, that, you know, you guys are recognizing how important, you know, mothers are and sharing those messages, you know, and not just mothers, you know, even dads. I think it's phenomenal how many men are now staying home. And exactly
right.
what you said, Judy, taking on that I'm a stay-at-home dad role instead.
It's wonderful, yeah, I think.
Well,
yeah,
what I think people value is that they understand that the future generation depends on the adults. And so we, as an adult, whether you are a father or a mother, you are now actually, not that you have not taken ownership in the past, but that ownership has never been so important ever, because you are actually now living in the present moment and you realize that, wow, I only have, say, for example, anywhere between 10, 15, 18 years max that I have to have an opportunity to really teach, coach, counsel, mentor my child.
Yeah.
And then once he or she leaves home, that's it. So time is precious. And so now, because of the changing in technology and basically the work life and so forth, it gives everyone the flexibility to be able to do that. And this is an interesting part, because it's no longer the quantity of time that is most important. It's the quality of time, because we start creating wonderful things. We're going back in full cycle now. I've spoken to people just a few months ago about, hey, you know, we can't eat dinner every day or lunch or breakfast, but you know what? We're emphasizing the Sunday dinner again. Then everybody has to be at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Because that's once a week we have an opportunity to really, you know, blend and really connect as a family.
Yeah, that's something that my family has actually gotten back into doing. Now that my mom and my stepdad live back up here near me again, and because they've moved up to the southern Utah area, and my dad and because I have 2 sisters and a brother that from my dad's second marriage, and that my dad's also actually implemented, is every Sunday the families get together and have dinner. You know, all the kids come, the grandkids come, we all get together, and it's actually really nice, because, you know, it used to be like Thanksgiving for me was like the one, it was the once a year big every, you know,
right.
all the aunts and cousins and everybody got together, and I really, really enjoyed that. But then, you know, we all started slowly moving away, You know, so that's why it even got hard just to do it that one time of the year, even though we all lived, you know, not that we all lived close to each other, but, you know, we still lived only a few counties away kind of thing before out in California. But now that, you know, my parents are back close to me and stuff, you know, it's something that we've really started doing. And I have, you know, my son's going to be 16 this month, and he, you know, he'll give you that kind of, really, you know, grunting at you, that teenage grunt that they love to give. And, you know, you look at him, you're just like, really? And the other thing, you know, and not that I'm trying to bring religion into it, but, you know, I remember growing up, it was a really big deal for my mom, because she did work full time, and I'd come home, and, you know, this is, of course, when I was older. I was like 11, 12 years old. I started coming home and, you know, being a stay-at-home kid with, you know, by myself. And so she'd get home, and she'd be tired at work, and, of course, you know, it was like eat dinner, and it was like homework and off to bed. And so she really made a big point to where we always, you know, had evening prayer together, because church was really important to her. And so my husband and I looked at each other, and I'm like, you know, because him and I, a lot of times, we're passing each other. And so that's, like, our big thing. He makes sure he's home at a certain time at night so we can actually together pray together as a family, because we sort of realize, you know, that's the value we want to put into our kids. You know, whatever religion they decide to be when they get older, so be it. But we want them to know that this is what's important to us, and it shows family unity. And so that's kind of our thing. And I love the fact that, you know, that you brought that up, you know, at least, you know, the Sunday dinner kind of thing. Because I think it is important that we get together with our loved ones, you know, even if it is once a week, or make it, you know, if you're across country where you pick up the phone like you do, Judy, with your sisters, and, you know, call each other and just say, you know, hey, you know, I love you, and I just want to make sure you're okay, and, you know, and I'm just looking out for you. Because I think we get so caught up in our busy lives, too, that we do forget those simple messages, which is why I love both your guys' books so much, because it reminds us, you know, it is that simple, and we complicate it. We put all the complication into everything, and we overlook how simple it is just to pick up a phone or go over and have dinner, to send, you know, a YouTube e-card or send an e-book as a gift to somebody and just let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you. You know, and it only takes a couple of seconds in those cases.
You know, it really does, and not to be, it sounds morbid about it, but you never know in the day and age is when they walk out the door, you want them to know they're loved.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, want them to know they're loved. I'm a little envious, though, because we don't have the Sunday dinner. I have two different sons in two different states, but, you know, you're going to laugh, but we Skype. It's just because we want to see them and see how they're doing and laugh with them. And yes, do I wish they lived near closest to us? Yes, but they're happy and have their own life. But we do make that connection once a week. We have to Skype. We have to laugh with them. And I wish we were having a meal with them. So I'm a little envious. It's nice you have that, Virginia.
Well, I have it with my side. My husband doesn't. His family is still in the San Bernardino County section of Southern California. And so they know our house. Sunday is funny because I actually had somebody make a comment, because I was actually on yesterday on the computer working. And they were like, wow, you're working, you know? I'm surprised you're working. And I kind of laughed because Sunday's the only day that I actually don't work normally, because about 9 o'clock our time here in Utah, our phone starts ringing with my husband's family, because they know by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon that we're gone, you know, visiting my family who's here. And so Sunday's like family day. That's all it is. It's just phone calls are coming in, or we're heading out.
That's wonderful.
It is, and I love it, because family is important.
Right, and that's what precisely, you don't have to be breaking bread over Sunday dinner, but it's the connection that we made a conscious choice to connect, whether over Skype or whatever. I mean, I've ran into people now who are, say, in their grandparent stage, so to speak, and they enjoy, no matter where they travel, they make it a point in their calendar once a quarter, once every 3 months, to say, okay, I'm going to go see my oldest son. Or then they rotate around. This is all done within the quarter now. And then they'll say, okay, well, then 2 weeks later, I'm going to go see my daughter and visit with my grandson on that side of the country. And so what happens now, they incorporate that because they realize that those things are important. They know that their children pretty much less mobile, So the mobile one are the ones that's going to be making those plans and making it work and making it fit. And then, of course, like you were talking about Thanksgiving, perhaps once a year everybody gets together, because in the past and, of course, in many ways even in the present, when do family get together? When there's a wedding or death in the family. And so now they're breaking that down to whereby, you know, we're making a conscious choice right here, because the power of love is very, very important. We want to connect. We don't want our grandchildren to grow without us, and we want to make that connection. And, of course, like Judy was saying, with Skype, you know, you can actually see the other person in a monitor. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what would you, and of course, Johnny probably is going to have a long list, since there's 9 women in his life, but what is probably the biggest, you know, outside of, you know, obviously knowing you're loved and having that unconditional love from your moms, would you say is the other thing that your mom, you know, instilled in you, you know, be it inspirational, motivational, what was it?
Johnny,
how to
you
live
live.
You're saying that what's the most important impact they have in my life? Is that what you're saying?
Besides the unconditional love and them showing the love and stuff, what's probably the other big like takeaway thing that you've really applied into your life that they've taught you? And obviously, Judy, we want you to share yours too.
Gotcha. I think it's in the form of a recipe for living again. And this is something I would love to share with someone, because one of the most important lessons I've learned in life is what my mom told me. Throughout our life's journey, we will continue to gain and encounter new experiences. Some experiences, good or bad, will stay with us for the rest of our lives. It is how we manage them that we will ultimately determine the idea of our success or failure in both our personal and professional life. I think that's the underlying factor, because if we're alive, breathing, we're out there, we're going to run into challenges as well as rewards every day. We're going to run into people that we like or don't like, or like us or don't like us, and we're going to experience things. It's how we manage that. It's going to be very important in how we live our life and how we determine success or failure in our personal and professional life.
That's great. How about you, Judy? What would you say has been one of the big lessons outside of love that you've taken away into your life from your mom?
I guess I keep thinking with my folks was travel and just be really curious about curiosity in life. Be curious about different cultures and customs, and I would say that's really a biggie, about just, you know, learn all you can about different cultures, customs, languages, food. And so that's been really important, the curiosity. I think my mom would have said to me, though, she said once, I tend to worry, and I work on worrying. And Johnny has a passage in his book about not to worry, and I like that passage. But because I do tend to be a worrier. And I remember her saying once she was going to come down. It was during a hurricane, and I was going to have my first baby. And I said, Mom, you know, I'm a little concerned about the hurricane. She goes, Judy, I have the world's best warrior, you, on my side. She said, I'm not worrying at all. She said, you'll do it all for me. And so she used to say you need to, you know, chill and not worry so much. And so those two things, curiosity in life and people, and also just not to worry so much.
That's great. I have to say, and I don't know if my mom will ever listen to these shows. She knows I do them, but she works, like I said, she's still in the banking world. She's a personal banker now. She just doesn't get away from it. But, yeah, my mom, it's funny because she always talks about how dynamically different personalities we are. My mom is definitely more of the omega, you know, my door's always open, you know, has the big old welcome stamp on her forehead, please wipe your feet here on her chest kind of person. Not that I'm trying to make her, you know, sound like this. I mean, she's just a wonderful person. I mean, she'll do anything for anybody almost, and sometimes, you know, I don't want to say to her own detriment, but sometimes I feel like it's that way for her. And that's the one thing, as I am, I'm a lot more like my dad. I'm definitely a lot more, I'm a lot more of a reserved person in many ways. And the one thing my mom has really taught me growing up is to have that compassion, that empathy to other people, and to not be selfish, because my dad, I love him dearly, but he can be very selfish at times, and and my mom's not. And I think sometimes that, you know, it's easy, especially nowadays with everything we have going on. And one thing I was trying to teach my kids is, you know, not to be selfish, because it is, it's easy to get caught up in our own little worlds and to not look at the people that we're, you know, not even realizing subconsciously affecting. And that's the biggest thing I think my mom's really helped me. She's really helped me to open my eyes to my own faults and to definitely be a lot more sensitive and compassionate to, you know, to how I'm affecting those around me. Because, you know, I don't think sometimes as people we realize that. And I know as kids, you know, our parents are always like, oh, share, you know, don't do that. And they try and teach you, when you're little, they try and teach you, but you're right. You know, when you, like you said, John, earlier, you know, you only have so many years to try and get those lessons in them. Until they're older. I mean, I look at my teenager, and I look at my sister, I'm going, oh, please let me. I hope I didn't screw him up too much. You know, he graduates in 2 years, and I'm sure, I guarantee, in 4 years he's going to be out in the world away from me. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, please. I hope the world doesn't look back at him and go, your mom just really messed you up. You know, but I'm lucky because as the big gap that's between him and his sisters and how much older he is, because there's a 9-year gap between him and my second child, you know, it's hard to have kids spaced out that far apart. And, you know, he's a teenager, and she's in elementary school, and, of course, he's got his, you know, baby 2-year-old sister in the house. And, you know, he just, like, get out of my room, and I'm doing this, and I'm, you know, going off to see my girlfriend, and I'm hanging out with my friends, and, you know, I don't want to entertain you. But, you know, it's, I at least thought I haven't screwed him up too much, because we went for a walk the other day. Seriously, my kids and I do. I try and take them out for a walk and teach them, you know, of course, being healthy and exercising is important. And his sister fell down. She actually, like, tripped near the curb and fell into the gutter of the street and scraped her knee pretty good. Oh. And, of course, you know, here I am. Be my typical stuff. Oh, you're fine. Get up, shake it off. We'll be home in 10 minutes, right? You'll be fine. It's not bleeding. You're okay. It's just you know, you see scrapes and skin off. My son goes over to her and picks her up and carries her the remainder of our walk in his arms and
what
carries.
What a sweetheart.
Her. And I just was like, I'm looking. I'm going, you're gonna wear yourself out. And here I am, like, you'll just throw down. She can walk. And he's like, it's okay. I got her, Mom. You know, it's okay. And I was like, wow. Okay, I must have done something right.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, those are the kind of things you can't really teach. This is something that you experience. And obviously he has experienced that kind of love from you in the house somewhere along the line. And he understands the connection, the bond, you know, the beauty of that sort of, you know, the unconditional love that we have as a family.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, that was kind of like, I was going, okay, I guess I'm not that, because I'm always talking. I know Judy hears me all the time on the show. I'm always talking about how I put an awful mom. I was like, wow, I actually, like, didn't screw something up this time.
You guys are just too hot on yourself.
I am. But the, like I said, but you know, I'm glad my mom did instill that in me, because I know a lot of people who are definitely that A-type personality. I'm sure you guys have encountered them. You guys don't seem that you're, like, crazy alpha, you know, personality types. Trust me, I am. I'm like the micromanager, crazy psycho. My husband likes to find it all the time. But, no, my mom really, that was, like, the one thing my mom really taught me was, you know, to really take a hard look at myself and how I'm affecting those around me. And I'm glad she did. As awful as that lesson was, especially as a teenager, having that drilled into my head, it's actually, I think, has at least, you know, even though I know I have these faults, I try and work on them, even though, you know, being aware of them, because I think that's, like, the one thing as humans, I think, is when we're in denial or rationalize our faults or don't even want to look at them, that I really think that we're doing a disservice to ourselves and those around us because of that. So I'm glad she taught me that lesson. So if she ever listens to this, hopefully she'll realize that, you know, because she always thinks that she didn't teach me enough compassion. She realized that she actually did. I'm still working on it. A lot of time. Well, is there anything you want to leave with our listeners before we wrap up the show today?
Well, Judy, go ahead.
I was just thinking, just, you know, look around you, you know, see all your loved ones and just appreciate every moment with them. You know, hug them, tell them you love them, you know, sit and have a meal with them when you can. Just appreciate them. I don't know. That's just appreciate those you love. And Also, try to get 1,000 hits on our videos.
Yes, I put the link
go
in the chat room.
Go.
yes, definitely. Help us get 1,000 links on the I Love You, Be Careful eCard YouTube
Thank you,
trailer.
Virginia. No, it's always, again, and one other thing I want to say is, as I said, I'm not just because of Johnny being on the show, but you know, your book has been an inspiration to me, Johnny, and it's going to get worn out and worn out and worn out. I might have to buy one in a couple of years, another one, you know. I'm not a,
Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, I'm a dinosaur. I'm almost 60, and that doesn't mean anything. I'm a dinosaur, but I'm not into Kindle. You know, I love the book in my hand. You know, I'm a dinosaur in that way. So, so thank you. And thank you, Virginia.
You're welcome.
I have a couple of things here. I don't know which one I want to read, but I think I'll just go with, because I think people understand this. Maybe I don't need to read this, but I'm not going to have to read this anyway. In understanding the true meaning of motherly love, such profound love simply cannot be captured, expressed, or elaborated in any number of words. It has to be experienced and felt by the heart. Being it's Mother's Day, I think that's true to the fact that we sometimes don't realize that, but when you talk about love, love is just love. And it's not right or wrong, it's just love. And then the last thing I would want to impart to people is that life's happiness is not a destination, but rather the journey itself. Therefore, always live to learn to love and to leave a legacy. So that's something that you will always be remembered by, what love is all about and how you have touched others in such a profound way that they will always remember you in a loving way. And then, of course, like Judy, maybe I need to have 1,000 hits on my Kindle.
Yes, 1,000 hits on the Kindle download.
Yes.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
I thought it would be. I have to add one thing. I'm a chocoholic, so the other thing I would say is eat more chocolate. It has nothing to do with the book.
just eat chocolate. You know, I actually, just to bring up how great chocolate is, when I did my international marketing class where we talked about a couple of different companies and stuff, and I don't remember, I don't think it was See's Candy, but it was one of those, you know, like Godiva's, you know, one of the bigger companies of chocolate. And we were reading a book in my psychology class at the same time, and we were talking about like small indulgences and stuff. And it's funny, but for women, they've actually done studies between men and women, but for women, it's true. When we eat chocolate, it actually sends a lot more, you know, pleasure receptors to our brain. And I know, and so it's really why women love chocolate. So, yes, it actually is a good thing to eat chocolate occasionally, especially, you know, don't overdo it, obviously, because you don't want to be trying to lose those 30 pounds from eating a bag of, you know, whatever. But, you know, having a couple of pieces when you're feeling down, it actually does boost your mood.
Yeah.
So I have to agree with you on that.
We haven't been paid by the chocolate industry to say that.
No, we haven't. It's actually really true. Well, I want to thank you guys both for being on the show. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking about your books, just talking about, you know, unconditional love, families, mothers. You know, this is the one thing I always try and do on my shows. I don't try and just make it like, oh, let's just, you know, talk about the, you know, everybody's book specifically. I mean, I like talking about life in general because, I mean, it's really what inspires us to write the stories we write, you know, be it, you know, memoir, nonfiction, fiction, book. You know, it's life that inspires all of that. It inspires anybody to sit down and put the words on the page. So it's always a pleasure to have you guys both on and to talk about, you know, writing and life in general. So thank you very much. I wish you guys both a lot of success with your books. They're fabulous books. Again, if anybody wants to know more about Johnny and Judy and Joan's book, and then, of course, Johnny's book, you can also go to our blog. We did a spotlight, and we'll be doing some more spotlights as we lead up to Mother's Day on the World of Ink Network blog. So you can either go to theworldofinknetwork.com, you can click on our tab for our blog, or you can go to worldofinknetwork.blogspot.com, and you can see some of the posts we have up already about what Judy and Johnny are both doing with their books, I Love You, Be Careful, and From My Mama's Kitchen. So definitely check that out. And then also a couple announcements. Before we go, tomorrow is Marsha's show, A Good Story is a Good Story. That show will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for those who want to tune into that show, Marcia will actually have Bobby Schaefer on, and she will also be joined by a couple of other wonderful writers that are part of Bobby Schaefer's group. So definitely tune in that show. Marcia always has a great show on that. And then we're going to have a special edition of A Good Story is a Good Story as well later in the week. Marcia said it was supposed to be on Friday. I think I just passed it. I was going through my notes. Oh, yes, there it is. It is Friday. It will be at trying to look at the time. It will be at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Friday for that special show. And her special guest is Willow Cross. And if anybody who's ever thought about self-publishing or is isolated between traditional or self-publishing, Marcia and Willow will be talking about that on the Friday show. So definitely tune into that. And for those who are listening, this is a really great show to listen to on Saturday, May 12th. It's Storytime Gather Round. It's new here on the World of Eight Network. It's hosted by J.D. Holliday and Christy, and I think it's Conadillo. I might have gotten that wrong. Anyways, what's great about that is it's a great time for parents to cuddle up with their little ones and listen to authors read their stories live here on the World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays. I can't guarantee every Saturday we'll have that show, but we are looking to offer it as often as we can. So definitely tune in this coming Saturday to that as well. And we definitely want to wish all of those out there that are moms, soon-to-be moms, have been moms, or have been adopted moms to others, a wonderful Mother's Day this coming Sunday. We wish you all well, and this is the Writing Mama Show here on the World of Eat Network at Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Eat.